Okay, so we're on daf Yud-Tet tonight. Okay, so let me go back to the Mishnah on Yud-Chet Beis. It says, I'm just going to read the Mishnah and then we'll go to today's Gemara. So, who's there? Let's say you have a shtar and the Edom identify their signatures. But there was a gun to our head. That's why we signed it. He says, or we were below the age of majority, so we're psuliated, or which is kind of we're below the age of Yevedus, or psuliated. Psuliated means we were, let's say, like Masachi the Kuvi Rashi says, or we're relatives. Hayinu, Hare Elu Ne'amanim. So he says they're Ne'amanim. In other words, this is another din of Pesha Asar Pesha Hith here. In other words, they say it's our Ketav Yadenu, but there's a psul, so they're Ne'aman. But if there are Edim that it is, other Edim, other sources where we can establish the bona fides of their signature, so then they're not Ne'aman. But they're not Ne'aman. Okay, so it just basically means Pesha Asr, Pesha Hit here. That's where we're going on with that. Okay, now we'll slip down to the bottom of the Amud, six lines from the bottom. Okay, yeah. So Tan Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa, so Rameir disagrees with the holding in our Mishnah. Rameir says that in the first case of the Mishnah, that they're not Neman to Pasol the Shtar. In other words, when they say it's our signature, but we were a Nusim, we were this, we that, they're not Nemanim. And B'chami Omrim Nemanim, the Chami say they are Neman. So the Gemara says, B'shtem L'Rabbanan Ki Tamayu. So the Chamim, I understand, they're following their Shita, which is Shapesha Asr, who are Pesha Hitir. In other words, they're the ones who, you know, verify the Shtar, and they're the ones who impugn the Shtar. So they're the whole picture, so I believe them. But why is it that Rameir says that we don't believe them to pass the Shtar? Ella Rameir, my time, what's his Svar? So the Gemara says, Bishleim Psuli. Now the Gemara gives some Svaris for Rameir. So the Gemara says, "Bishleim b'psuli edut mal v'gufam ikar made a daik u'mechtam." So with psuli edus, they say it's our signature, but we were psuli edut, meaning we were krovim or we were mesachim b'kubya. There's a presumption that the malva himself will check out the edim. In other words, the malva has a self-vested interest to make sure he's got kosher edim. Right, so Rameir is figuring that, you know, to say such a thing that, you know, we're psuliatus, like, but there's a presumption in the absence of any other evidence that the Malva will check it out. So we're not going to be makabel that argument. I mean, so then Ketanim Nami, and if they say, well, it's our signatures, but we were Ketanim at the time we signed the Shtar, Kidrib Shimon Lakish. So that we're going to reject as well, according to Rameir, like Rish Lakish articulates, even though Rish Lakish is an Amori, lives years after Rameir, the Amor Rish Lakish, Chazak at the top line of your Tetamon Aleph, means the presumption, you know, even quote from the Shtar, the Gadol. So here, this presumption, which Rish Lakish is saying, is that Edom don't sign the Shtar unless the parties to it are Gedolim. They make sure the parties are Gedolim. But the Gemara assumes the opposite would be true as well. And it was similar to what we said before, just like the Malva will check to make sure, hello. Just like the Malva will check to make sure that, okay, is everybody here? Fern, you're there, Fern?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry for the difficulty. I couldn't get on the other website. Whoever you can communicate and let them know, it would be helpful.
Okay. I'm in Corning, New York. But...
Oh, okay. Anyway,
so I'm gonna let Malka and Ruth know.
Yeah, and if you have Arthur Kirsch or anybody
else,
yeah,
okay.
And David, okay. I'm sorry to throw it on you, but okay.
No problem. Now,
okay, so the top line, and we're on Yud Tet Amud Aleph. So he says, Elam Kenas Begadol, meaning, so there's presumption that the Malva will make sure that the Edom are not Ketanim. That's basically what he's saying. He says, Ela Anusim, my time. But the argument that we were that somebody had a gun to our heads, you know, what's to say not that way? You know, but that taka sounds like, you know, it could be an argument, you know, like maybe the Malva himself had a gun to their heads or something like that. So why is that not a valid argument? We're on line two, Yotet Amud Aleph. Okay. So the Gemara says, Amr of Pista, Sabra Meir, Adim Sha'amru Lahem, Chitmu Sheker, Vial Tehargu, Yargu Vyayach Musheker. So Rav Chisda says the Tanur Meir holds that if Adim are instructed to sign a shtar, and even though it's going to be lying and on facing death, they should accept death and not sign falsehood. Now, the Rishonim talk about this. Now, it really means we know that that's not the case. In other words, a person only is Yahari Bio, the big three, Tiahari Bio Yavur. But what the Rishonim say is that Rameyer holds that a person, if he would choose, he could choose death. In other words, even though he's not Mitsuba to die of it. Okay, let me just mute everybody. Okay, so even though he's not Mitsuba to do this, he could do this. But it means that people are, according to Rameyer, we think, we're always going to reject this in a minute, that according to Rameyer, people, it's so distasteful to them to sign something that would be a lie. So therefore, Rameyer holds that he's not goreis this kaina that we ranus him. In other words, because we think that people they would it's so degrading to them that they would never sign something which is a false document, even though that's what we'll meet with two lines we'll come to it. Now he says, so Amarli Rava. So Rava says to Rav Chisda, line four, Hashta idu akul kaman the luche imrinu lahu zilu chatumu below the kaplan. He says, look, let's say the Adam came to us and they said, the guy's got a gun to our head. Should we sign the document? So we'd say, yeah, sign it. Don't get killed. He says, the Amamar, in the Satavar Shemibtuach Nefesh, Elavodak Lukavim, Vigilur Shemibtami Babad. The only thing you have to give up your life are the big three, which is Avodazara, Giliarot, Shemibtami. Hashta, the Chatmu, Emilahu, Amaya Chatmi too. So he says, so now now that they would have signed it, would we say to them, like, how could you have signed such a thing? In other words, there wouldn't be any recriminations from somebody who would sign a document, even though it's false, but on facing death. Again, so let's go back. So again, according to the Tanna of our Mishnah, so if the Adam come in and say that's our signature, but we have a Tanna, we were Anusim, we were Ketanim, we were Psuli Eidut, so then that we believe them because Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitir. And Rameyer disagrees with that. So the Gemara says, so why does Rameyer disagree with it? So the Gemara says, the other time is basically that the parties checked it out. And in other words, so the argument that they're Ketanim or Psuli Eidut, so the Ma'alva would check it out. He has an interest in making sure that he's got a kosher document. So the presumption is that he would check it out. We're not going to believe that Taina. And the same thing with Ketanim, also this Chazaka that the parties would check it out. But Anusim is that could be the parties themselves are, creating the onus. So the Gemara tried to answer on behalf of Rameyer. Rameyer holds that people sometimes will give up their lives rather than sign sheker. But the Gemara says, look, at the end of the day, you're not obligated to do it. And if somebody would come, we'd say not obligated to do it. So there wouldn't be any recriminations involved if a person signed a document and it was a false document, but it was done on pain of death. Let me just do a few lines and I'll pause. He says, Ella, Tamad Rameyer, the Rabbuna Marav. So the Gemara says on line 10, the reason for Rameyer is like Rabbuna's name of Rav. The Amar Rabbuna Marav, Modabishar Tavo, Ain Sirich Lakaimo. Rav holds that if the Lova admits that he signed the shtar, he admits that that's a shtar, it was true, and I borrowed the money, but I paid it back. That's what the Lova says. The borrower says that, right. The borrower says it was a true shtar, but I paid back the debt. So, but then under those circumstances, if the Adam come in and say, yeah, it's our signature, but we were doing it, we were forced to do it, but it doesn't make a difference because it's already the bona fides of the shtar have already been set up by the Lova. And so that's the case that Rameyer is talking about, that if they say Anusim, they're not believed because the Lova is already verifying the shtar. What? Right. So I guess that's the story. Okay, who's had questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Everybody good in the cyber world? Let me see who's here tonight. Oh, it's like...
I couldn't reach Arthur, and I texted Malka and Ruth.
All right. Thank you, friend. You did the best you could, and I'm sorry for this difficulty. You know, it's just, tell you the truth, I'm just not a big fan of the whole Zoom situation, but it is.
No, we appreciate that you do it. So thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for being here. All right. Now, all right. So any questions on the Gemara so far? You're good. And by the way, Fern, you know, you asked me last week, and I felt terrible. You asked me about the connection between Pesha Asa, Pesha Hitir, and the Migo. I spoke about it on Shabbos, and there was and the article explained the whole thing that according to the Balei Tosfot, Pesha Asa, Pesha Hitir is a form of Migo, and according to Rashi, it's different. Did you see that in the article before you asked me?
I didn't know. It feels very similar because
your antennae were right online. Okay. Any other questions? Any other questions, comments, thoughts? Everybody good? Okay. Let me go further in the Gemara. All right.
Malka should be coming on.
Okay. I got to mute you. All right. Now. All right. Now. Let's see further in the Gemara. Yeah. So. Okay, so around 10 lines down on your Yotzei Ben Allah. Okay, Gufa, Amar Rav Huna Marav, Moda B'Shtar Shetavo, Ein Tzarich L'Kaimo. So Rav Huna says in Rav, now this is the halakha we just quoted, that Moda B'Shtar Shetavo, Ein Tzarich L'Kaimo. The Lova says, yeah, it's my star, but it's paid up, so I don't have to, in other words, the Malva doesn't have to be Mekayim the star. In other words, so we're not going to believe him with his Taina that he paid it up, but He doesn't have to mekayim it because the Lova has admitted it. So that was within the Shita Remeir and Lechora. So Amarli Rav Nachman Genuva Genuva Lamala. So Rav Nachman says to Rav Huna, you know, you're being a little bit deceptive with this statement. You make it sound like everybody accepts this halacha. He says, Irisvir Lach Remeir, Ema Lach Remeir. If you hold halacha like Remeir, so that's what you should. In other words, you had this svara to explain Remeir. So, but if you want to say Lach like Remeir, fine, say Lach like Remeir. So Amar Lay, so Rav Huna says to Rav Nachman, Umar Heches Firlay. So how do you, Rav Nachman, how do you hold in a situation like this where the Lobis says, yeah, it's a true star, but I paid it up? So he says, Amar Lay, the Atu Lekaman Ladina, when the parties come to us for a Din Torah, Imrin Lahu Zilu Kainu Shtaraychu V'chut Ladina. We say to them ahead of time that you should be Mekayim the star. In other words, the Malve could have the star certified. So in Achinami, it sounds like on that evidence alone, it sounds like he would say not like Rav Huna in the name of Rav that Moda B'Shtar Shetavo Ein Tzarich L'Kaimo. He says that we would say to them that you do have to be Mekayim the star. You do have to be Mekayim the star and then go forward to the Din Torah. In the previous sugya, in order to explain the shita of Rav Meir, so Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, Modav Shtar Shetavo Ein Tzarich L'Kaimo, that if the Lova admits that he wrote the star, but he says it's paid up, so the Malva doesn't have to be Mekayim the star anymore. And that gets us out of this, you know, Pesha Asar Pesha Hitir deal. In other words, since the Malva is admitting to it, so I don't need the Edom anymore. So then the Edom say we were a Nusim, and that's nice, but we don't need you, so we'll see you around. That's the way Rav Meir is explaining it. So here, Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman says to Rav Huna, you know, I think you're being a little deceptive. In other words, you make that statement, it sounds like everybody accepts this halacha, but it's not true. He says, if you hold like Rav Meir, fine, see if it looks like Rav Meir. So Rav Huna says back to him, Umar Heki Spirley. So how do you hold in a situation like this? So Amarlay, I would hold if I was the dying, Kiat Lakamaladina, if the Bali didn't come to us for Din Torah, Imrilahu, I would say to them, Zilu Kaimushtaraihu Hutaladina. In other words, you need to be Mekayim Shtar, meaning to establish you the Malva, need to establish the bona fides of the star, and then come to the Din. Yeah, in other words, but he says it's paid up. Now the truth is there's a problem because if the Lova says I'm paid it up, but Malva could say, you know, Star Kabiadi my bay, how come I'm holding on to the star? But let's look for what do you think? And let me see what the article says. Let me just one second. I must say I saw the big difficult path tonight. It sounds simple, but there's a lot of twists and turns here. One second. Right. So even if the Lobe concedes, footnote 8, even the Lobe concedes it's authentic, he can claim he repaid the debt in accordance with the Sheikh of the Chachamim. In other words, he's saying that if the Malva is not Mekayim the Shtar, the Lobe would be Neman to say, it is a valid Shtar, but I paid it back. That's Pesha Aser, Pesha Hitir. And we believe him, according to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, therefore, it's essential for the Malva to be Mekayim the Shtar. It means to establish the bona fides of the signatures on the Shtar, so he doesn't need the Lobe. All right? Everybody good? All right. Let me go further in the Gemara. Now, okay, so I'm around midway down the column on Yitzhak Amin Aleph, 19a, right? Midway down the column. So I'm Rav Yudah Marav, Ha'omer Shtar Amanahu Zeh, Eino Neman. This is like a related case, but a different case. Let's say, somebody makes the statement that this Shtar, which is being produced in Bezdin, was only drafted, but there was no underlying loan. In other words, the Shtar on its face evidences that a loan took place, that Reuben lent, let's say, $10,000 to Shimon, but it was a Shtar Amana, meaning the Shtar was drafted so that if Shimon needed the money, then he can get the money right away, and the Shtar was already in place. We don't know who's making the signing yet. Well, we'll see. Right, Shimon drafts the document and has Adam sign it, but Shimon doesn't allegedly borrow the money yet. So he says, so the Gemara says, the Kamar Man, who would be making that statement? Ilema, the Kamar Lova, if I would say that the Lova is making the statement, it's a Shtar Amana, Pshita, Kol Kamine. So it's obvious. So Rashi here says, let's see the Rashi, Kol Kamine, below Eidim Chatumim Bo, Pshita, Yikayim Bako Tamav. So there are, in other words, it's nice that he says that, you know, it's made up, but there are Adam on the Shtar, and he assumes that if the accuracy of the signatures could be established, the Kima Shtar, he's out of gas. He's dead in the water, the Lobe. In other words, he just says, oh, it was a Shtar Amana. Yeah, well, good luck to you. Now, let's take a look. We'll come back to that in a minute. He says, Be'ela the Kamar Malva. So let's say the Malva says, yeah, but this is a Shtar Amana. It was no real loan took place. So it's a Bola Bracha. You know, so sign benched. In other words, if the Malva says there was never a loan, so then that's fine. He says, Ela de Kamri Adim. So it's the Adim are coming in. In other words, the Adim who allegedly, you know, who signed the document and, you know, or witnessing the loan, the Adim are saying there was no loan that ever took place. So the Gemara says, Eat Tav Yadam Yosim Akumacher, Shit Lomahemne. If we can establish the bona fides of their signature from another source other than the Adim, in other words, let's say we have other documents that we know that they signed, so then their credibility goes, you know, down the tubes. And you know, we don't need them to establish the bona fides of the Shtar, and what they say doesn't mean anything. But if we can't establish the bona fides of the Shtar without these Adim, says Amai Lomahemi, why would they not be Naaman? So we're trying to figure out, in other words, that seems too simple. So what is the case that Rabbi Yehuda said in Mivrav, Omishtar Amanu, who's that, Eino Naaman? What is that case? So Simon Ba'ash, those are the Simonim for the Chachamim we're going to be quoting shortly. So Amarava, Yolam de Kamar Lobe. So Rabbi says, no, if the Lobe is the one who's saying that it's the Shtar Amana, and earlier we said, look, so the Malva will just, you know, establish it, and then he's out the door. It's like, in other words, Rav Huna is following Rav's halacha, which he quoted earlier. So now it's Rav Yehuda, the name of Rav, but it's also following Rav's, the author of the halacha, that once the Lova admits that that's like a bona, in other words, he signed the document. It's, and so the fact that he says that it was just a Shtar Amana would not be Naaman. In other words, the earlier line we were saying that you have to do a Kiyum Shtar. You have to establish the bona fides of the Shtar, you know, before you present it. Now the Gemara is saying even more that a person who makes a Taina that it's a Shtar Amana, he's out the door. Means the Lova says, yeah, that's a Shtar. and I signed the shtar, and the Edom signed the shtar, but it was never, and Malva has it, but there's never a loan, I don't even need to be Mekayim the signatures of the Edom. The Lova has already established that. And as the Lova said, yeah, it was a shtar, but there was no loan. But no, we don't believe him. That's what we're saying. He says that's the halacha. He says, Omer shtar manoza ain't on Neman. He's not Neman. So ain't Sreth the Taimo. No, before we said that you have to be Mekayim shtar. Mekayim shtar means I have to establish the bona fides of the signature of the Edom. Now the Gemara is saying that even without that, if Lova admits that those are the signatures of the Edom and that there was the shtar, then he's out the door. See, right, the Malva can collect. So Abai Amar, the Olam, the Amar Malva. Abai says, no, I could say it's that the Malva says it's the shtar amana. So we said that's a pashut. The Malva says it's like there was never a loan. So we could go on Shechav L'Acherim. But the case that the Malva is believed is the creditor is a creditor, but he's also a debtor. In other words, a creditor, in other words, let's say Reuven lends money to, or Reuven lent money to Shimon, but Reuven owed money to Zvulun. In other words, the creditor owed money to somebody else. So now his creditor, now Zvulun wants to collect the money, whatever Reuven money Reuven's got, Zvulun wants to collect. So right, he wants to collect it from Shimon. Like Rabbi Natan explains, and this is known as Shibuta de Rabbi Natan. He says, the Tanya, Rabbi Natan Omer, we learn the Brayso, so Rabbi Natan says, how do we know if Reuben is claiming a mana, 100 zuz from Shimon, b'chaveru b'chaveru, and Shimon is claiming 100 zuz from Levi? How do we know we take from Levi and give to Reuben? So Reuben is creditor number one, Shimon is creditor number two, and Levi is the debtor. How do I know that we take the money from Levi and give right away to Reuven, the first creditor? Taman Lomar, Benatam Lasher Shamlo. So this pasuk is in Parshat Naso. It's my bar mitzvah Parsha. It's talking about if a person takes a false shvua that he like in other words he's accused of robbing somebody or wrongfully taking money from somebody and he lies under oath and then he admits that he lied. So he has to pay the money, but he'll give the money la asher ashamlo. So it doesn't say he'll give the money to the person who he had. Let's say he lied under oath that he about borrowing money. So he says I didn't borrow the money, and then he admits that he lied. He did borrow the money. So it doesn't say he gives the money to the malve. He gives the money la asher ashamlo, the one that's the ultimate owner of the principal, which means the original creditor. That's what he's saying. So, in other words, so let's see, Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Levi took a false shvua to Shimon that, he didn't borrow the money. Then he missed he borrowed the money. So he gives the money not to Shimon. He'll give the money to Reuven if that's the case where Reuven is Shimon's creditor. So he says here, that's another shot. So again, there's only three possibilities about the shtar amana. It's either you have the taina of the malva, the taina of the lova, or the taina of the edom. That's one of one of those parties is making the taina that it's a shtar amana, that there was no loan taking place. So the first pshat it was the lova who made that taina, but in other words, even though he's saying it's shtar amana, but once he himself says according to this this holding of Rav says. Motor Sharsh Kabo in Sirich the Kaimo, he admits that he wrote it, he doesn't have to Mekayim it, so he's out of gas. And the other shot is no, it's the Malva, but if the Malva is, of course he can forgive the debt. So he says, yeah, but here he's causing like injury to his creditor. So the halakha is, though, notwithstanding that, halakha is the Omishtar Manahu's at Eno Neman, right? So he, the Malva, is not Neman to say that. He says here, now Rabashi Amar, I don't know. In other words, let's say he's Reuven, he lent money to Shimon, but Reuven himself owns money to Zvulun. Maybe he wants to cut Zvulun out. Maybe he wants to, if you're looking for other motivations other than the truth, why he might lie that. I don't know, I don't know what his motivation would be, but anyway, but notwithstanding that, the Gemara says he's not Neman, so Now, Rav Ashi Amar, Yolam Dekamri Edim. So Rav Ashi says it's the Edim who say it's a Shtar Amano, who the Ein Ketav Yodam Yitzim L'Kom Acher. And there is no proof of their signatures from a different source, so rely on the Edim to establish the bona fides of the Shtar. With Dekamri Edamai L'Mehenne, so you say, why wouldn't it be Neman to say it's a Shtar Amano? It says Kidrav Kahana. Like Rav Kahana explains, the Amar of Kahana, Asruludam Shtar Amano, B'toch Beito. It was the Gemara is going to say that they're not Neman because they'd be incriminating themselves by saying that we signed a document and there was no underlying loan that took place. In other words, you're not supposed to create a document when there is no underlying loan. He says, the Amar of Kahana, Asruludam Shtar Amano, B'toch Beito, Mishum Shnemar, Al Hashkin Bo Alecha Avlor. Don't let like wrongdoing dwell in your house. Turn page on the top line on other days. But Amar Rav Sheshet Reid Ravidi, and Rav Sheshet, son of Ravidi, says, Shmamina Mid Rav Kahana, Edim Shamru Amanah Yudvarenu. If Edim say that it's our signature, but there was never an underlying loan, Ein Nemanim, they're not Nemanim, my Taima, came into Avlahu, since by making such a statement, they'd be, in essence, incriminating themselves. That they're, you know, signing a document that doesn't evidence a true loan and leaving it with the malde, that's wrongful act. So a avla lo chatni, there's a presumption that they, the edim, would not sign on an avla, on something so wrongdoing. In other words, say that way. So let's go back here. So the halakha the Gemara has been getting into is about the shtar amana. Shtar amana means that it's an IOU note, but someone is saying that it's IOU note and everything is filled out. Those are the signature of the Edim and the Malva and the Lova, but the loan never took place. So the Gemara said that Rabbi Yusuf and Rav, a person says shtar amana, who's this is shtar amana. There was, it's a good star, but it's the proper signature is everything else. It's a star amana. He's not Neman. He's not believed. So the Gemara said, who's the one that's not believed? So you either the Lova, the Malva, the Edom. Those are the choices. So the Gemara said, the first shot is talking about the Lova. And he said, well, the Lova is not believed, but because Moda B'Shtar Shetavo in Tzirich L'Kaimo. In other words, he's not believed. And in addition to that, the Malva doesn't even have to be kind of star. Once the Lova admits that he signed the star and those are the signature of the Edom, he's history. That's that. Then the other pshat is that it could be the Malva, that the Malva is not believed. So the Malva is not believed. Why? It's his loan. So the Gemara says, no, he has a creditor and he's cutting him out, so he's not believed. The third pshat is if it's the Edom and they say, yeah, it's our signature, but it's a shtar amana. We need them to identify it, but in other words, the stuff is all about pesha asa pesha hit here, but limitations on it, so to speak. In other words, so even though these Edom are establishing the bona fides of the document, they're not believed to make a taina that they were wrongdoers, you know what I mean, that by signing it, because that's in essence what they'd be saying. We signed a document and there was no loan, right? So that would be a wrongful act, because Al-Shkembo Alecha Avla means it's not right to leave a shtar in the possession of a malve knowingly, and there was no underlying transaction. So they're not believed. Right. So so it means that the time of shtar al-amana, we're not going to believe with that. Okay. All right, let me pause for a second. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? All right, I'm gonna move on. Now we're on line 4 on New Tenement Days. Okay. Amar Rabbi Shuben Levi, Asuliadam Shashesh Star Perua Batok Beito. It's wrong for a person the way it should normally work is you have a shtar chov, the person pays up the shtar chov, then you give the shtar chov to Lova. That would be the way it would normally work. So the Gemara says it's wrong for a person to leave shtar parua, a paid up IOU note, in his house. Mishum shenemar al shkein bo lecha avla. Don't let wrongdoing remain in your house. Meaning, if somehow the Lova, I don't know, he didn't demand it or whatever, but it's wrong for the Malva to hold on to that document either he or maybe his progeny later on will produce the document and say it's not paid up. So it's creating like, you know, like a wrongdoing. So you got to get rid of it. But Ma'arava Mishmei D'Rav Amri, in Eretz Israel, they said the name of Rav. Now here, they quote the beginning of the same pasuk in Iov. It says, Im avim b'yadcha harchikehu, if you have wrongdoing in your hand, keep it a distance away. It's a shtar amanu shtar pasim. That refers to a shtar amana. There was a shtar amana would be a shtar that's written for a loan that never takes place, meaning get rid of that document. Ushtar pasim is, like they said in Mitzvot, like shtar piusim. It means if a person under, you know, he wants to sort of make it appear that he's wealthier than he is. In other words, maybe he wants to borrow money from somebody. So he wants to show somebody that all these other people owe me money, and I have, you know, a lot of, you know, I just have a liquidity problem, but I'm a good, you know, debtor to loan money to. So I go to my friend Yosef. I say, Yosef, come on, I want you to like write up a shtar that you owe me, you know, $5 million, and I'll hold up the shtar, and then I'll show this to Zvulun, and you know, it'll be good. So the Gemara says, you shouldn't even keep a document like that in your house. He says, it's a shtar amana shtar pasin. Yav tashkein bo lecha avla, don't let wrongdoing remain in your tent. It's a shtar parua. That's the paid up shtar. So all those documents are wrong to have around. A shtar amana is wrong to have around. Shtar pasim is wrong to have around. And a shtar parua is wrong to have around. So the Gemara says, mandamar shtar parua. Now the Gemara is going to learn in a few lines that there is an ostensible reason why a person might want to leave a shtar parua in his house, which we'll come to shortly. But if even a shtar parua I can't leave in my house, kol shkein shtar amana, even the shtar amana, it's kol shkein. Mandamar shtar amana, but the one who says it's shtar amana, well, shtar parua lo. But in other words, the one who says shtar amana might disagree with the shtar parua. Why? The zimnin demashile apshita the safra. Sometimes a person, like let's say I loan you money, and then
I paid you back.
And then let's say you're the lova, you pay me back. But normally the lova is the one who has to pay the scribe to write up the shtar. So sometimes lova doesn't have any money. So the malva will pay whatever, the extra $100 to the sofer to write the thing, but it's understood the lova is going to pay him back. So in other words, let's say he loans him $10,000. In other words, let's say Reuben and Shimon. Shimon wants to borrow $10,000 from Reuben. Right. So, but there's also a fee to pay the sofer. The scribe is going to write up the shtar. So the borrower is the one who's supposed to pay the fee because the borrower wants the money. So he's supposed to pay, you know, but he doesn't have any money. So I, the malva, might, you know, take the money to pay the sofer and say, but, you know, when you pay me the whole debt, you know, pay me, you know, I expect to pay the right for this. So if you pay up the debt of $10,000, you didn't pay the $100, I might hold on to the shtar. So you pay me the extra $100. So there might be a reason. What? All right. So there might be a reason why a malva would have a valid reason to hold on to a shtar parua. He says, okay, apshita the safra. What? No, in other words, the pasuk says, "Don't keep iniquity in your house. Don't do this." Don't this. So they're darshing out the pasuk. So if I darsh, all right, Mr. Rabbi, harchi is the shtar amana shtar pasim, to lecha is the shtar parua. Right. So the second way is learning the shtar parua I can't keep in my house. But the earlier way was, how do we have it? Yeah. In other words, the second limud, I'm not allowed to have the shtar parua. In other words, the second way is learning the whole pasuk. He says, I can't keep anything in my house. Neither shtar amana, shtar pasim, nor shtar parua, whole thing out. But the first way we learned was, we only learned the end of the pasuk, which was al sheshkein bo lecha avla, and that Rav Sheshit says is referring to shtar amana. So the one who learns that the pasuk is addressing itself to shtar amana, they might hold that shtar parua. There are circumstances where you can keep it. The second way, not. Okay. All right. I'm going to move on unless anybody has questions, comes to thought. Okay, now, Itmar, Sefer Shein and Muga, let's say this is on a different topic, but it just relates to the same drasha. Let's say a person has in his house a Sefer. Rashi learns on the fourth wide line, Sefer Shein and Muga, Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim. In other words, I have a Sefer from Torah or Nevi'im or Ketuvim that hasn't been corrected. It means there might be words that are not correct in the Sefer. That's what, in other words, so the chashash is I might have an incorrect drasha. I might, you know, because it's not right. So the Gemara says, in Mar Sefer Shein and Muga, Amar Rabbi Ami, at Shloshim Yom Mutar L'Shauto. So for 30 days, I can keep that Sefer in my possession. Mikan Ve'elach Asur L'Shauto. But after that, I can't keep it in my possession anymore. I shouldn't keep like it was wrong. Yeah. And that's why we brought it down. Okay. Now, so moving to again, a slightly different topic, but all related. Okay. Amrav Nachman, Eidim Shamru Amana Hayu Devarenu, Ein Ne'amanim. Now, if you remember, on Amid Aleph, we said, if the Edom say it's a shtar amana, they're not ne'amanim, we said. But that's, so what I would have to do is be mekayim it. I'd have to get like an outside verification. Now the Gemara is saying, according to Tosfos, in other words, even if I have no other source to verify it. In other words, an Amid Aleph we said, if the Edom says this is a shtar amana and there's no underlying transaction, and I have other sources to verify their signature, they're not ne'aman. But if they're the only source, then they would be ne'aman. Now we're saying, even if they're the only source, they're not ne'aman. In other words, even if they're the only source to verify their signature, but they say it's a shtar amana, they're not ne'aman. Let's see back in the Gemara. It says, Amar Rav Nachman, Edom Shemru Amana Yitvareinu, Ein Ne'amanim. He says, now, the way you could say this is like this, that in other words, the shtar represents a type of haggadah eidus. It's like their testimony. It's so kevan shehigid shuvein ochozer magid. Once they verify their signatures, so that's the end of their testimony. The testimony is limited to the four corners of the document, and now they can't revise their testimony. That would be the way that was to go with Rav Nachman. Okay, so eidus shamru amanahu debrein u'inamanim. Now, this is, let's say there's a shtar mechira, a shtar evidencing a conveyance of land. But let's say the Edom say, that the person, before he signed it or whatever, he said, you should know, I'm doing this under duress. The guy is threatening to kill me, whatever, the non-Jew, unless I transfer the land to him. So but the Edom say that. He says, ain't ne'amanim. They're not ne'aman either. So according to Rav Nachman, once the Edom say, those are our signatures, they're stopped from doing anything to impair or revise their testimonies contained in the document. Mar Bar Ravashi Amar, Mar Bar Ravashi says, Amana Yudvareinu Ne'aman. If they say Amana, they say it never really took place, they're not Ne'aman with that, because they undermine the whole document. But Moda'a Yudvareinu Ne'amanim. But if they say, no, there was our signature, but there was a moda'a that he gave us beforehand. They are ne'aman, according to Mar Rav Ashi, my taima, hai ni tali kapev, hai lo ni tali kapev. Meaning, if it's moda'a, so the person, the party himself would want the document to be written. In other words, his life's at stake. You know, Ivan the Terrible is threatening him with, unknown cruelty unless he transfers Greenacre to him. And the person says, please, I want you to execute the shtar. So he would want the shtar, but you should know I'm doing this under duress. So he, the party, would want the shtar to be written. He, the party, would want the shtar to be written. So there, according to Mar Bar Rav Ashi, they're ne'aman to say that. But the first one, lo nitan l'ketev, they have no business even executing the document. If it's a shtar amana, they have no business executing that document if it's not true. And therefore, we're not going to believe their testimony, according to with the shtar amana. Again, let me just summarize and take questions. So again, Rav Nachman says, the way Tosfos understands it, whether there's outside evidence or the Edom or the whole evidence, if the Edom say this was a shtar amana, this is a document, and it evidence is, you know, purportedly alone from Reuven to Shimon, but we're telling you it never took place. They're not Neman because by believing them, in other words, their own testimony was contained in the shtar. So there's a halacha, kemen shigid shuvin chozer magid. Once you've given testimony, you can't revise your testimony. So by according to Rav Nachman, once they're validating their signatures, that's the end of it. We don't want to hear anything more from you, and that's your testimony. But, and then the same thing, according to Rav Nachman, would be true with Moda'a. In other words, we executed this document, and but the guy, the person, the grantor, he said he was being forced to do it. So tough luck to convey the real property, to convey Greenacre. So, and he asked us to sign the shtar, conveying Greenacre to Ivan the Terrible. So, but he said he's being forced to do it. So they're not permitted to come forward. According to Rav Nachman, that's it. We don't accept the testimony. The document speaks for itself. But according to Mar Bar Ravashi, in Achinami, by the Shtar Amana, I'm 100% with you, Rav Nachman. There, we can't accept them to impair the bona fides of the document. But by the Moda'a, we do, because there's really, they did nothing wrong. But in other words, by saying that it was a Moda'a, they're saying, yeah, it took place. The party wouldn't have wanted to do it this way. And in Achinami, they have a green light to do it. They never have a green light to write it, to execute a Shtar Amana. That's what do you want to say, Robert? No, that's not what the document says. Oh, no. Let's get used to the first document. It's a loan document. It says that on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Reuven lent Shimon $1 million. No. It's the document is evidencing purportedly a transaction that took place already. Right. Okay. All right. I'm going to move on unless there are any questions. Okay. All right. Let's see back in the Gemara. Now, by mini Rav and Rav Nachman. Now, again, Rav Nachman says that we don't believe them about the Shtar Amana. And there was the four corners of the document of what's controlling by Shtar Amana. And in other words, they say it's Shtar Amana. We don't believe it. And Moda, we don't accept that either. So by mini Rav and Rav Nachman, Tanai Hayu Devarenu Mahu. What if they say something different? What if the Adim say that, yeah, there was a Shtar conveying Greenacre from Reuven to somebody, and I said Ivan the Terrible will make it to Shimon, but there was, in addition to which, a Tanai, there was a stipulation between the parties that, you know, sort of a condition precedent. So there was a condition precedent that the buyer Shimon is also going to build a wall for Reuven or something like that, and he hasn't done that. So can they give testimony about this additional detail? So he says, "Tanayu devarenu mahu." So moda'av amana hainu tama d'ka'achri le'deshtara. So I could say, look, by the moda'an yamana, we don't, according to you, Rav Nachman, we don't accept their testimony because you're going to totally undo the shtar. In other words, you can say, yeah, this shtar, but it's not amana. This is a shtar, but there was a moda. There was a disclaimer. Behind Nami, you can akar the shtar. Here too, with this claim about the stipulation, also is going to undo the conveyance. O Dilma, Tanai Milta Akriti. Or perhaps I could say that Tanai, in other words, it's not in any way impairing the bona fides of the document itself. It's just sort of slightly modifying the document. In other words, in Akinami, everything in the document is accurate, but it's adding sort of like you'd say like parole evidence or something like that. So that's the question he poses to Rav Nachman. So Amar Lei, so Rav Nachman says back to Rava, he actually come on the Dina, he says, when people come to us for Din Torah, Amrinu, we say to them, Zilu kaimu tana'aihu v'chutu l'dina. He says, go fulfill your tanai. In other words, if there is testimony that there's a tanai, we're going to give full force and effect to the tanai. And if you're the grantee, in other words, you're Shimon, so fulfill whatever tanai it is, and then go to Din and say, I want Greenacre. Now the Gemara says, so meaning we're going to give full force and effect to the Tanai. Now the Gemara continues on. Eid Omer Tanai, Eid Omer Eino Tanai. What if one witness says there was a Tanai, there was, again, a conveyance of land, Reuben to Shimon, and one witness to the Shtar says there was a Tanai also, and one witness says there was no Tanai. So Amar Papa, Tarvayu B'Shtar Ma'aya Kamasade. He says, look, both agree that there's a, those are signatures, and it's a good Shtar. By the Kamar Tanai, Habalei Chad, the one who says there was a Tanai, he's just one witness by himself. There was one, you know, in other words, in essence, they're both saying our signatures on the Shtar are correct. And they're both saying, so the one who's saying there was a Tanai, he's controverting the other witness who says there was no Tanai, but he's also controverting his own signature on the document that doesn't mention a Tanai. So we're not going to be machshiv his argument. The document doesn't mention a Tanai. So, but that's the testimony of what's contained in the document. So, Makiv Rabbeinu Bar Yehoshua. So, Rabbeinu Bar Yehoshua says, "Ihachi afil tarvayu nami." Says, if that's the case, then even if both of them say there is a Tanai, then we shouldn't believe them. Which Rav Nachman said we do believe them because they're contradicting what's in the document. Ela imrinan hani lemekar suda tayu kaatu. Rather, we say it means that they're just sort of qualifying their testimony. In other words, in Akanami, the testimony is there, but they're just qualifying a little bit when there's two Edom who say there's a Tanai. So too, when there's one witness, he's qualifying his testimony. So let me just do one line and we'll pause. So halacha is, if one aid, in other words, you have a case, Reuven, the document says that Reuven agrees to, you know, transfer Greenacre to Shimon for $10,000. And then one of the witnesses says, but Shimon also agreed to do A, B, and C. I don't know, to build a wall for Reuven or do something like that. So the Gemara is saying that if both of them say there was that tie, then definitely, and Reuven, Shimon is the one who's going to Bezdin because he wants Reuven to convey Greenacre to him, and he has him convey Greenacre. So both of them say it, we're definitely going to give full force and effect to their testimony. But even if one says it, so we'll get, you know, if Shimon wants to enforce the document, Shimon is going to have to fulfill that Tanai, since one of the Edom says there was a qualification that was involved. That's what we were saying. The document doesn't mention any Tanai, but one of the witnesses says there was a Tanai. So, if you want to enforce the document in Beis Din, yeah, but the Gemara rejected that. The Gemara said that they're not. The Gemara initially thought that the Edom are coming to uproot their testimony. So if that's the case, though, then even if two Edom come forward, I shouldn't accept their testimony because it's the four corners of the document. Where it says, no, it's only qualifying their testimony. So qualifying it, when there was the testimony is good, but there's a people qualifying it. But the, so if two of them qualify it, say, Nechanami, that's a qualification by both of them. But even if one qualifies it, since I need his testimony to establish the Shtar, so you have to fulfill his requirements in order to assure the conveyance in Beis Din. Okay, what's up? That's what we've been talking about. We have one. That's one rule we have that way. Kaven shehigid shuvin el kozer magid. But then there's another klal, which is, you know, it's a little bit like Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitir. He says, let's take a look here. She'ino karto, elo karto. Zidli milta achriti, the star. Yeah, one thing. Give me one second. Here's what he says. This is in footnote 24. He says, his current testimony is that his signature is authentic but subject to stipulation. This qualification is acceptable since it consists of an addition to the written testimony and not an illegal retraction. Thus, we are left with only one witness who certified his signature as is, and another who made a qualified certification, as though the note contains only one signature. Now, one second, let me just do one more thing here. One second. Yeah, since they're not entirely revoking the document, but are adding to the previous testimony to believe. That's what he wants to say. So it's Kevin Shigin Shumin Ochoz or Magid. I can't, in other words, my testimony can't be something that's going to undermine my original testimony, which is the document. So if I say it's the Shtar Amana, then I'm undercutting the original document. Here, they're not undercutting it, they're just adding on a stipulation to it, so that's what the Gemara said they could. It's not. It's not the same as parole evidence in secular law. It's saying, I can't come give later testimony, which is going to undermine my original testimony, but I could give later testimony according to this, which is just going to sort of qualify my original testimony. That's where the Gemara has it. That's the best I have with this. Okay, let me wrap it up today, and we'll see. Now, all right, now we're 8 lines from the bottom. Tana Rabbanan, Shnayim Chatumim al Shtar Umeitu. Let's say the two witnesses on the Shtar died. Ubao Shnayim in Ashuk, and two people came from the Shuk from the market. But Amru Yadam Shtav Yadamu. We recognize their signatures. Aval Anusimayu. But we know, in other words, it's like a variation of what we had in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said it's our signature, but we were Anusim. It's our signatures, but we were Ketanim. It's our signature, but we psuliate us. Here, the original witnesses are dead. But other witnesses come in and say, about Anusimayu. Yeah, we recognize the signature, but we also know that they were doing it at gunpoint, or that they were Ketanim at the time, Ketanimayu, or psuliated by you. They're psuliated, they were relatives, or they were Misakne, Bekuvio, gamblers. Harei Elu Ne'amanim. So means these witnesses who come in from the Shuk are believed to say, in other words, it's like Pesha Asar Pesha Yitir. The witnesses that are like creating the verification of the Shtar are the ones who say, but this is also true. But if we have other witnesses that can establish their signatures, or we have samples of their signatures from another place, as in a shtar that had, you know, still litigation attached to it, but it was later on verified from Bezdin, so then the group that says it was a problem, not Ne'aman. Now the Gemara says, so again, I have one document and it has the signature of the Edim, and they say, and that says that they owe the money. And then two other people come in and say that they were Anus, they were this and the other. One second, let me just check one thing, Yeah. So again, let's say the second case in the Brisa, where two Edom come in and we say that we know that the Edom were Anusim, we know the Edom were Ketanim, or we know the Edom were Suliatus. And then we have other evidence to establish the signatures of those Edom. So we're going to believe the Shtar. So the Gemara says, well, Bina make your Shtar Ma'ayah, so you're going to use that Shtar, like 100% good Shtar. He says, Vamai, Treyu Treinanu. It's like two Edom versus two Edom. I have two Edom who say, like, here's their signatures. In other words, so it's like I have the four corners of the document. But I have these Edom who are saying, yeah, but this they were Anusim, they were Ketanim, or they were, you know, Suliatus. So Amrav Shesha, Zoto Meret, Hachasha, Tchilat Hazamahi. So Shesha says, now we're dealing with Hachasha. Hachasha is when I have two Edom that contradict one another. Hazama, if not many people know, is when you have a later group who say, Imanu Hayitim, you were with us in another place. So he says, Hachasha Tchilat Hazama, that Hachasha is the beginning of Hazama, meaning that there's a certain din by Hazama that we're going to borrow for Hachasha. So the top line of Chafamid Aleph, 28, the top line. Just like Hazama always has to be in the presence of the Edim, there was, I say, Imanu Hayitim, you have to be facing them. Kach Eimachish Edim El Bafneim. So too, in order to have Hachasha, that has to be in the presence of the Edim. Here, the original Edim are dead. So the Hachasha can't be in their presence. So we're saying it can't be Hachasha. That's what we think. So Amar Le Rav Nachman, Ilu Habu Kaman, Machisha Luhu, Hava Hachasha, V'lo HaMashkina Behu, V'lo Edim Luchasha. So that means you're saying, if the two groups of Edim would be in front of us, one the signatories, the other one saying that you were Anusim, you were, you know, Psuliatus, so we wouldn't pay attention to them because they would be Edom Lechesha. They'd cancel each other out. Hashlet now, in other words, now they're not here because they're dead. Yilu habu lekaman, dilma habu modu lehu, haven't they? So if they were here, maybe the original Edom would agree with the people who were saying that it was, it was that we psuliate or something like that. So Elamar Rav Nachman, who could tray lahade tray. So Rav Nachman says, we're going to imagine it's like two Adam versus two Adam. He says, we're going to leave the money where it is. So it means, leave the money where it is let's say the shtar says that Shimon owes $1 million to Reuven. And now I have the Adam on the shtar, but I have other Adam come in, the Adam are dead, and I have other Adam say they were psiliators. So in that case, Reuven the Malda will not be able to collect the money from Shimon. I'm going to leave it where it is. And let's say if it's a conveyance of land. So if Reuven, you know, is the owner of Green Acre, and Shimon says, I have the star, and Shimon is not giving me the land, we're going to leave the land with Reuven, because the Ede HaKasha, they both cancel each other out, and you can't go forward with that. In other words, that we have the signatures on the star, we're able to know to verify the signatures from another place, and then other Adam come forward and say, yeah, but we know they were Ketanim, they were Psiliators, they were Anusim. So we're not going to give, you know, credence to either one. They'll cancel it all out and leave the money where it is. Okay, we're going to continue on this tomorrow, but I think that's it for tonight. Okay, nice having you. But listen, Colleen Eder, I'll try to straighten something out with this thing tomorrow and send you an email. Okay?
Thank you, Yosef, for letting me know.
Thank you, Yosef, for letting her know. Okay, and thank you. Okay, let's see. Okay, 1 second.
And thank you.
Sure.